My place in tech changes every day, but I don't fear the future because I'm with the leader, Pluralsight. Their online learning platform has the hands-on, expert-led courses I need to master new tech skills and create bigger impacts so I can learn quickly and stay ahead. With Pluralsight, I don't fear what's next. I embrace it. Tap in at Pluralsight.com and see for yourself.
Welcome to the Come As You Are podcast, where family and friends testify of how the Lord has turned their darkness to light and traded their mourning for dancing. The Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians 5:17, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things passed away. Behold, new things have come." I'm your host, Gracie, and I'm just so overjoyed to have the opportunity to do this. The Lord has proven himself to be so good time and time again in my own life. And it just makes my heart happy to hear of what he has done in the lives of others. As you listen, I challenge you to tune into what the Lord has done for others and invite him into your own life too. The Lord is no respecter of persons, so what he did for me and what he did for them, he can do it for you. So come as you are and leave changed by the power of Christ. Happy Monday to my audio listeners and happy Tuesday to my video watchers. I'm so happy that you joined us for today's episode. Today I'm here with a friend that I've known for a little over 3 years or so, and she is just such a joy to be around, and her love for the Lord is so admirable. She is full of wisdom, kindness, love, and light, and I'm really just trying to think of like whenever we actually met, and I try and pinpoint it, but I just can't. I feel like we kind of just became friends, like,
it was somehow through church, for
that's
sure.
That's so true. And it has, though. It's been a blessing to be able to call you friend, and it's always been regardless of whatever season and everything, and so it's just been such a blessing. So this is my friend Kyla.
So I'm Kyla. I go to Summit Church in Conway. I am in college. I am actually a senior now, first semester senior, and I'm a public relations major, and so I'm hoping after college I can get into just some kind of field in the church with marketing and something like that. So praying for that, praying I get an opportunity to do an internship at a Summit, one of the Summit locations. So that's me. That's who I am.
I'm kind of just going to ask questions. I mean, you know this because I've sent you the questions and we've gone over them and stuff. But for those of you listening, I'm just going to ask questions and we're going to talk about her testimony and like how the Lord has really worked in her ministry, all those kinds of things. And so the first question I have is, when was the first time that you can remember really like realizing that you needed Jesus as your savior?
My first time realizing, I go to a church camp every summer called Super Summer, that my friend introduced me to. Her parents used to be the head of it, used to run it. And so my first year being able to go, I got to go. And that was really the first time I was like, wow, I need this. I need this guy, Jesus, to just save me. And so they usually have like a big worship service and they'll call back for an altar call. And so I looked at my friend that night and just was like, I need to go back. Like, will you go with me? And so she went with me and I ended up giving my life to Jesus that night. And I was like, yeah, this is what I need. Like, I knew I was going to be better after that. And she ended up just rededicating her life to the Lord. And so that was really a pivotal moment in my life at Super Summer.
How old were you? Do you remember?
I have no idea how old I was, but it was in 2015. So okay. I was at that point. So this summer, it'll be 10 years.
Okay, yeah. So 9 years.
Yeah.
That's crazy. Yeah. That's awesome.
Yeah.
So, do you remember what your life looked like before that moment, or is it kind of all just like a blur leading up to it, or like how did you live before that? Do you remember anything?
I feel like it's more of a blur. I know I'm an only child, and so I didn't
Me
really
too.
have a whole lot of like friends growing up. I probably had like one friend, and so I would spend most of my time with her. Same thing going into middle school, had like a main friend group of three other girls, and so they were all churchgoers. And so, I mean, my life growing up wasn't horrible. I mean, one of those like big transitions in life where it was like, oh, I need to completely change everything that I'm doing. It was an easy transition. I was just walking in a different way.
No, I
So,
understand that.
yeah.
That's what, like, for me, I grew up knowing Jesus. Like, I got saved when I was 5. And so, growing up, I always had the Holy Spirit in me, like, that would convict me about things. And, like, I would know what to do and what not to do. And, like, all of this stuff, thanks to Jesus inside of me. And so, whenever I grew up and stuff and, like, started finding myself down the wrong paths and all that stuff, it was easy to turn around because, like, I already had that foundation. So that kind of sounds like the Holy Spirit was kind of working on you even before you came to Christ fully, if that
Yeah,
makes sense.
definitely.
So after surrendering your life to Jesus, did you find that it kind of led you down a simpler road? Or do you think that, like, whenever you stepped out in your faith, it sort of became harder? Or, like, just what did that look like to you?
I think in some aspects it was simpler, and then some aspects it was harder. I would say like right like the couple years after I like gave my life to Christ was simpler, just because it was like I'm a new believer, and so I was also young, so I was like I don't really know like what this is all about, and so that was much simpler. But I would say like high school it was more on the difficult path of just
Absolutely.
following the Lord, and then college, it's like difficult but also simple, just because like I didn't really get into the party scene or anything like that, and so that was nice, and I found a good community like right off the bat, and so that was really
Absolutely.
simple. But just being in college, there's a very diverse community, and so like stepping out in faith and sharing your faith on campus is very nerve-wracking,
Yeah, and it's
and
very
so
like, because that's what even like I cannot even imagine. Like, I mean, I'm at like ASUBB right now, and I know that you went there, but like it's so small, so like the nerves there.
Yeah, I like last semester at ASUBB was probably my first semester I talked to anybody about like my religion, and so luckily they were both churchgoers, and so we got to connect on that aspect, and it was really nice just to see that other people like at the college were like going to church and stuff like that. And so coming to UCA, like I already had the community of BCM. And so just going into class, it's very nerve-wracking because a lot of people are not religious. And
And they're
so
like very against.
they're very against. I did have one class this semester. Everybody had an open mind, but they were like, I'm not getting back into that. And so it was kind of hard just to be like, how am I supposed to like share with you, but you're like, no, I'm not ever getting back into that. So, but
And I feel like a lot of people struggle because, like, I feel like a lot of people that are the college age and all that stuff, they kind of like grew up in church, especially like here in the Bible Belt and like people that are around in Arkansas and like just the southern states in general. They grew up in church and then at some point the church
hurt
hurt.
them. Yeah.
And so in their mind, Jesus was misrepresented, which is so true.
Yeah.
Like, and so it's hard to get back into that. And so it is difficult to like really navigate trying to talk to somebody who's been in it and trying to get back into it. But like, it's crucial. I really like you kind of touched on getting plugged in and like all of that stuff in college. And you talked about like BCM and like all of that stuff. So what really led to you really diving into like getting into college ministry and finding that community?
Yeah, so Going to college, I was at Friendship Baptist, and so one of my friends, she goes there, she's very involved there, and she was like, we need to go to BCM because her dad's a part of the Arkansas State Baptist Convention that runs through BCM, and so she was like, we need to go. So our freshman year, we got involved in that. That was really nice to have, other than I wasn't at UCA, so it was very hard to, like, fully connect, because I just didn't have the time with driving back and forth. Probably, like, my last two semesters at ASUBB, I tried to find, like, a different college ministry at a church, and I tried out Woodland, because a lot of BCM people go
there.
And Woodland is so great. They have a great college ministry going on there. And so I tried that out. But it's very hard to get connected to a church on, like, Wednesday night when you're not going on Sunday.
No, absolutely. And that's what I was going to touch on, that, because, like, I started going to, like, BCM and stuff, like, recently. Or, like, I went, like, a couple weeks in a row, and then I was just, like, because it can be so discouraging whenever you go into somewhere and you literally know nobody besides, like, two people. And I feel like that's all I knew. And so, literally, because I don't go to UCA and I don't go, like, to church there. And, like, I mean, I'm not even Baptist, but, like, that doesn't even matter to me. But, like, it was just so difficult. But, like, the payoff is so great. So, like, what would you say the payoff of, like, staying through and staying consistent in the college ministry, even though it was hard going back and forth from, like, BB and Conway, that, like, really kind of, like, shaped your faith?
So, like, through BCM, you get a lot of, like, opportunities to meet different people from around Conway and even from just around the state, because UCA, there's a whole bunch of people from everywhere. And so staying involved, you get to serve, but you also get to meet a lot of great people and become friends with them, and stay connected through college, which is so fun. And it's just people that you can rely on and just ask for prayer and just help in times of need. Because at BCM, we have small groups. And so that's a really great time for people to just kind of, like, unwind and just spill out anything that they need to in a smaller group. And so it's so nice to just have that opportunity to do that.
Yeah, that was, like, my favorite part whenever we went, is because, like, in the small group, you got to really, like, dive deep into the lesson and, like, talk with, like, people that have like minds as you. And, like, it just, it was so nice. I loved it. After, like, getting involved in stuff, you kind of talked to me about having, like, an internship and stuff. So, like, what did that look like through the BCM ministry and, like, all of that?
Yeah, so I did an internship for the Arkansas Baptist State Convention, and I was, it was me and three other people. We just would, we stayed at Camp Perrin, which, if you've ever heard of Camp Perrin, it's scary out there. There's scorpions and animals
out in the boonies.
It's super scary, but we all got housed out there, and we would drive in together to Little Rock, and we kind of just helped them with whatever they needed us to help with. We did a lot of camps, we did some VBSs, but we got to interview a lot of the staff, which was really nice. And so at the Arkansas Baptist State Convention, they have, like, a college team, and that college team, like, works with BCMs across the state. And so it was nice to go in and just ask them questions about different things and, like, learn more about what they do, because I go to BCM, and the other people that were there, only one other person went to BCM. And so it was kind of fun for us to get to see the behind the scenes of what goes on with college ministry. And so that was really fun. And I will say, like, towards the end of my internship, we got to go to a summit all staff meeting.
Oh, that's so fun.
That summer, I was kind of, like, in a transition period of churches and trying to find a new church. And I ended up going to the Summit Conway, and I loved it. I went with one of my guy friends, and we were, like, in love with it. And so getting to do that all staff meeting was really a pivotal moment of being like, okay, this is where I need to be, because like I got to watch all of the staff just worship together and pray together and love on one another. And so that was really fun. Yeah. And I loved getting to see that. And so I knew that's where God wanted me to go. Mm-hmm. And so I've been at Summit for like over a year.
Yeah, you've been there for a while.
Yes, it's so much fun. And they have like such a diverse like age group. Like there's a whole lot of college students because it's right by campus. And there's a lot of young adults, a lot of older people. And so it's really fun getting to connect with like the different age groups. So
yeah. So after stepping out in this like internship and going to this all staff meeting and like all of these things, did that really like open your eyes to like maybe this is something that I want to do?
Yes. I feel like before I did that, I definitely didn't think there was really a place for me like in a ministry position.
Yeah.
But going there and seeing all the different ministry roles like in that building was really like eye opening and being like, okay, like I could definitely like work like in this kind of setting and do something like through an organization like that. And so it was definitely a pivotal moment being like, okay,
maybe I need to belong in ministry.
Yeah. And so not that like you need to be like in like a church setting and working there, but mm-hmm. I didn't really know if I wanted to be in like a corporate setting. And so it was nice to be like in that kind of area and be like, oh, like I could definitely do this.
Yeah, because it definitely
somewhere like this.
Yeah. And like I feel like you being at the all staff meeting and like getting to see the different roles and all that stuff really opens your eyes, because I think so many people think that in the church there's a preacher and a worship team.
Mm-hmm.
And that's like all the ministry. Yeah. All the ministry. So like if you can't preach or you can't sing, you can't serve.
Yeah.
Which is so not true. And so it sounds like you really got your eyes open to be like, okay, there's so much more, and there's so much more depth in serving in the local church. And that's just awesome. I love that you like kind of found your place.
Yeah. They have a communications team there.
Mm-hmm.
And so they do a lot of the like posts for their Instagram website and Facebook. They also do different like news stories like on their website. And so we also got to write like a little story about like our time at the convention center. And so that was really fun.
That's awesome.
So we got to see like what that looks like.
So you kind of touched on this whenever you were introducing yourself, but like, do you think that your degree that you have is going to help you a lot in church and like working maybe on the marketing team and like all that kind of stuff?
Yeah, I feel like it will. PR is definitely a very weird, it's in a like in between stage of like you could go a communication route, but you could also go like a marketing route.
Yeah.
And when I was at HUBB, I got a business degree there.
Mm-hmm.
And so I also have like a little bit of like a business degree background. And so I feel like that's going to help me a lot going into like the workforce, whether that's like a ministry like in the church type area, or if I do like nonprofit or anything like that. I think my degree is really gonna help me land a job and like have the background knowledge of like semi what to do.
Yeah.
Because I feel like you don't really learn a whole lot until you actually get into the workforce and you see like what everything's like. So
that's so valid. So we touched on your experience interning and all that stuff, and I know that you talked about church camp and Super Summer and all that, but I know recently, if not like, was it like 2 years ago or so, that you became a staffer at Super Summer? So what did that look like for you? Because I know that you were so nervous about like really stepping out in that, because I don't really know why actually, but like you can touch on that if you want. And just, like, walk us through what that process was like for you.
Okay, yeah. So I think it was, like, 3 years ago. It was my first summer out of college. So I had my first year of college, and then it was that summer. But I wasn't going to staff super summer. I was a camper for all the years I could be. And it was going to be my first year to staff if I wanted to. And I really wasn't going to, but they needed more staffers. And some people convinced me to staff. And so I signed up to become a staffer. And I really didn't want to because my friend at the time was doing an internship in Rogers, so she couldn't staff with me. And so it was just going to be me. And I didn't know anybody. It was a brand new year. It was the first year out of COVID that Super Summer started back up again. And so I was like, I'm not going to know anybody. And I just didn't know. I was like, what am I going to do? Mm-hmm. And so I ended up signing up to staff. And I staffed. And that you do like a staffer training the first 2 days before campers get there. And so I went to the staffer training. There was like maybe like one or two people that I knew. But it was really fun just getting to see people that I didn't know and like meeting new people.
Yeah.
And like a weird thing at staffer training, I ended up sitting by a girl who was in my color school and like suite mates with me where we were housed at. And so we hung out all week, got to know each other, and that was really fun. But at Super Summer, you also have a family group. And so you get a group of girls and you kind of get to spend the week with them. JV group and then a senior high group. They come at different times. And so luckily I was blessed with two very great groups my first year. Mm-hmm. All really sweet girls. It was so fun. They really made my experience like even better because I was like, wow, this is really fun. And so, yeah, I was like nervous for nothing, but it was definitely very much outside of my comfort zone because there was nobody there that I knew my age. I only knew some of like the like people on staff of Super Summer.
Yeah.
And so my first year was like really fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what I remember you telling me about it and like how much fun that you had and how thankful you were that you stepped out of your comfort zone. Yeah, I remember you telling me about it and how like thankful you were that you took that step out of your comfort zone. Do you think that there was something that kind of like really pushed you to do it, or was it more so like you knew Elise and like knew her dad was a part of it and they were just like, I think you should do this, that you would have such a good time?
Yeah, so I feel like it was kind of them like being like, I think you'd be really great. Mm-hmm. I feel like you'd be really good with the girls that you get. And then I also knew like I just needed to take some kind of step just because I felt like I was just kind of like in a mid area of life and I was like, I don't really know what to do. I kind of didn't have anything to do fun that summer. And so I was like, okay, fine. Like, I'll do it. And so, yeah, it was really fun. It was really fun. Oh, okay. So my second year staffing though was probably my favorite year because my senior high group of girls were the best girls ever. And, I don't know, like, I don't know what it was about them, but they were all so sweet. We all connected so fast, and I don't know, it was really fun. And some of the girls after, like, we talk all the time, and I get to see them sometimes, because I do a winter retreat for Rogers, which I get to do again this year, and
that's really exciting.
There's a couple of them that do that. And so I get to see them in like a couple weeks. And so I'm really excited to see them. And I think that's one really good thing about Super Summer is like some of the girls, like you get to connect with on a deeper level and like they trust you. And so after Super Summer, you have that connection still.
Yeah.
And it's really nice, even though like they're far away, like I'm in Conway and they're in Rogers, but it's so fun to just be like, hey, like, I'm going to be doing this thing for your church. So I can't wait to see you. And, like, they've even invited me to a play that they did. And so that was really fun to just go and get to support them and, like, what they love. So I love it.
It sounds like it opened a lot of doors for discipleship, which is what we're, like, called to do. Mm-hmm. So that's amazing. Do you think kind of stepping out in Super Summer and really taking that step of faith in discipleship, do you think that that kind of led to you wanting to serve in the church?
Yeah, I do. Also, I love, like, girls and, like, women. I feel like at some point in my life, I would definitely, like, be interested in doing some kind of, like, women's ministry or, like, girls' ministry. Just because, like, I've loved all the girls that I've had. And, like, they're all, like, so different and unique. And so I feel like that first year of Super Summer and then my second year getting to do an internship, like, it was very eye-opening to be like, wow, there's so many different things that I could do, like, when I'm out of college. And so, yeah, it was really fun.
Absolutely.
So I'm really excited to see, like, what the future holds in, like, all aspects.
And, I mean, obviously the Lord put that dream and, like, that vision of women's ministry or girls' ministry, whatever that looks like. What do you think, like, drew you to women's ministry? Or do you genuinely just think that it was the Lord kind of being like, this is what you need to work on and work in?
Yeah. I don't know. I feel like definitely that. And then, like, this past semester, there's, like, a whole lot of freshmen at UCA. Like, I think this is the biggest freshman class UCA has had.
Absolutely.
Ever.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of the younger girls, a lot of the freshmen, like, girls, I love them.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, I feel like that, too, is kind of, like, eventually I could do, like, some kind of women's ministry or, like, even, like, a college girls ministry or just some kind of ministry with women. And, like, I'm really excited, like, for that mm-hmm. because I just, I don't know. I love girls. Love yapping with girls. It's so fun.
That's so real. And I feel like so many people find it so easy to talk to you because you're such a good listener. And that's what, and literally you give wise advice. And, like, there's been so many times that, like, I've struggled with certain things and I've brought it to you and you've always been quick to give wise advice. And so I think that's such a gift that you have from the Lord.
Thanks.
So we've talked about your ministry and, like, where you think that's going and believe is going in the Lord. But now I kind of really want to take a deep dive into, like, your personal walk with the Lord. Like, what do you find in your life that, like, I guess gives you the strength and the motivation to keep going in ministry and, like, just day-to-day life carrying the cross? Like, whether it's, like, Bible reading or praying, like, what does that really look like for you? Because I'm just, like, curious.
Yeah. Definitely people. I feel like
mm-hmm.
community is such a big aspect of my life just because, like, I don't feel like I have a lot of friends, but there's a lot of girls that I love and, like, certain friends that, like, all of my friends are different and I love that. And so it's nice to have a community of, like, different girls that I can count on and just kind of, like, walk through life. And, like, they're all so different in aspects of, like, not that if I need prayer from a certain person, like, I have that, but, like, somebody, like, helps me pray more because, like, every time we're together, we always pray. And so, and, like, I have Bible studies with, like, certain people, and it's, like, that helps me read more. And so, like, community is so big because, like, obviously we're all different pieces put together to make one in the body of Christ. And so
no, absolutely.
I love community, and I think that really strengthens, like, my faith because I obviously couldn't do it alone at all. Like,
yeah,
having the body plus Christ, like, perfect match.
So whenever you were talking about how so many people that you know and, like, finally, like, knowing their stories and all that stuff really shows how we are one body in Christ, even though, like, all of us have different parts in the church. Romans 12:4-8, which says, "For just as we have many members in one body, and all the members do not have the same function, So we, who are many, are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. Since we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, each of us is to exercise them accordingly. If prophecy, according to the proportion of his faith, if service in his serving, or he who teaches in his teaching, or he who exhorts in exhortation, he who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. I think that kind of sums up what you were saying of how we all have different gifts and how we need to zone into those that God has given us by his grace. And so I really just love that point that we're all part of something bigger than ourselves.
Yeah.
So outside of the body of Christ and like finding that community, which is so, so, so important, what are other ways that you really find that you connect and build your relationship with the Lord on a personal level?
Yeah. I feel like definitely like staying consistent in the Bible, which like is so hard because I'm not a big reader. And so it's hard for me to just stay very consistent, which is something like I always try to work on. But like going to the coffee shop and just having a good coffee, putting my headphones on, and just zoning in is really, it really helps to just stay focused and get, like, into the Word and learn more about God. And I think something, like, in the new year, I'm going to try to do is do, like, the Bible recap. So,
yeah,
just, like, go through the Bible, because I, fun fact, have never been through the whole Bible.
I haven't either.
And so, that's something that I really want to do.
Yeah, me too.
And so, I'm like, that needs to be a goal. I want to do the Bible recap. And so I feel like that will definitely help me to stay consistent.
No, absolutely.
And just try to get through the whole Bible and what else is in there.
That's what, like at the beginning of this past year, so 2024, I started the Bible recap and stuff. And I got through a good chunk of it. But then, you know, like, motivation wears off eventually.
Mm-hmm.
And my problem was I wasn't consistent with it. And so, but I found as I've like picked it back up and started getting back into it and like just picking up where I left off and giving myself grace and like the sense.
Yeah.
Because I feel like used to I would beat myself up about reading the Bible, which would kind of turn me away from it even more, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Because it'd be like, why am I not reading today? And man, like, I'm a horrible Christian, like, all this stuff, just beating myself up about it. But the more that I've grown and the more that I've learned is that I need to show myself grace in that. And so, like, I've picked up where I left off, and I've found that even pushing through whenever I'm not motivated to do something, because, like I said, motivation wears off, it eventually, it, like, because literally the moment that I start reading and the moment that I start praying and, like, all of that stuff, I find that I don't want to leave. Like, I literally just want to keep reading or I want to keep praying. And so I think the hardest part is literally just starting.
Yeah.
So I'm with you with that on, like, trying to be consistent and trying to get in my Word every single day because that's what we need to do.
Yeah. I also think that something that helps is my church does – sometimes they'll do, like, give you, like, a reading plan or something like that to do with, like, either the series we're on. They do, like, an Advent thing for Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
And so that helps. And in the new year, we do, like, 21 days of prayer and fasting. So I'm really excited for that, just to dive into that and start that. Because we did it last year, but I did not do it. And so I really want to do that this year and stay consistent and actually participate and see what the Lord has for me.
No, absolutely.
And has to say about what the year's gonna look like. So
yeah. That's what I literally, like, I've never fasted before, which is, like, so sad to say, but, like, I haven't, because honestly I never really understood it to the fullest extent of, like, why you fast and all of that stuff. And so I might have to join you in on that 21 days of fasting and prayer, because I think that that would be such a good opportunity mm-hmm. for me to like step out in that fasting area because mm-hmm. I've never done it before. Yeah. Have you ever fasted?
I've done like, I feel like I haven't done like a true like fast, like I've
like
done
a food like, fast.
Like I've done like a, I'm not gonna drink soda, but like it wasn't, I wasn't consistent in the word while doing it or like anything like that. And so I don't know, there's a lot of options of like what I want to fast from.
Yeah.
It's like I drink a lot of coffee. I like sweet.
Me too, girl.
And so,
it's like, hold on.
What am I supposed to do? Yeah. So, I feel like one of those will definitely be good because it's like I'm drinking or eating something sweet like every day. And so, I feel like getting rid of that for a whole 21 days plus being consistent in the word, like, I feel like it's definitely going to clear my mind. So,
yeah, definitely. Because, like, sometimes we have to get rid of the things that, like,
yeah,
we really enjoy to really dig deep and dive deep into the Word of God and really get closer to Him. Because I feel like the moment that we're stripped of things that we not necessarily idolize, but like feel like we can't go a day without,
mm-hmm.
there's a new level of closeness with the Lord.
Yeah. Which I feel like it's going to be hard because like January, I'm doing 2 different D-Nows plus a retreat for lead team for BCM. Mm-hmm. And so I'm like, I'm definitely gonna want energy for that. So if I was to give up like coffee and energy drinks, like I'm gonna be like, what am I supposed to do? But
literally,
I'm like, we'll see.
Lord will teach you and the Lord will give you the energy.
Yeah.
And all of that stuff. But I know exactly what you're saying.
Yeah.
Because like I've thought about it too. I'm like, if I fast coffee, because I literally, like, not even joking, feel like I have to have coffee every single day or, like, some form of caffeine because I'm to the point where I get caffeine headaches.
Yep. Yep.
And I'm the same way, though. Like, I feel like if I got rid of that, like, my world would come crumbling apart, which is so not cool to admit, but, like, it's the truth because I, like, have it every day.
Yeah.
So that might be something that I need to.
Yeah. No, definitely. I'm need. Like thinking about it more now. And I'm like, that's probably something we both need to give up for 21 days.
No, for real. And like, that's what literally, like, it got real bad because I felt like I had to have a Coke every day. Just some, like, it literally was like some form of caffeine. And I'm thinking about it now. It's like, what if in those times, whenever I would be going to, like, the coffee shop to get coffee or pulling through 7 Brew or headed to get a Coke because I don't keep them in the house.
Mm-hmm.
What if I took that time and, like, really, like, dove into the Word?
Yeah.
And prayed.
Mm-hmm.
And it just, it really convicts because it's, like, how much deeper. And that's such a small thing to give up mm-hmm. to have an even deeper relationship with God.
Yeah.
So,
for sure.
That definitely is going to have to be something that I probably
probably
sit down and really just think about and put it off because I definitely don't need it.
Yeah,
I think I just want it every day. I do have one more question.
Okay.
If you could give, and I really think that I ask everybody this that's on it, if you could give, like, the people listening or the people watching any sort of advice, what would it be?
Ooh, okay. Definitely, like, something you think you're going to be scared of, like, stepping outside of your comfort zone, and you think, like, I'm not going to be able to do that, like, definitely do it, for sure, because, like, the Lord's going to work through that and guide you through that, like, you're not going to be alone while you're doing it, and so I think anything that you think, like, man, like, I can't do that, like, think again, because like the Lord's gonna like be there with you, and like mm-hmm. through that you could be glorifying the Lord and stepping Absolutely. Out in your comfort zone and like learning more about yourself and about the Lord. So definitely doing that, stepping outside of your comfort zone
for sure. No, I love that, because like that brings me back to like Moses and how he was so scared to step out because of his like speech impediment, and like he just didn't feel qualified even though the Lord was calling him and telling him like go.
Yeah.
And you know, I wrote something in my Bible when reading through Exodus, and it's something that a preacher likes to say, and it's, I am who God says I am, and I can do what God says I can do. And so I think that that's such a good reminder, like you said, of just, even whenever you feel like you can't, or like that you aren't qualified, or, you know, like whatever it may be that you feel like you shouldn't or couldn't do it, I better said, not shouldn't, but couldn't do it, that you never know what will come of you stepping out in faith. So that being said, thank y'all for watching and for listening to the Come As You Are podcast with Kyla today. I have enjoyed it a lot. Like, it's been so fun. I just am so excited for what the Lord has for you. Thank you for tuning in to this week's episode of Come As You Are. I'm so grateful that you chose to spend the time to listen to the testimonies of my friends and family. The Lord is so faithful and a present help in time of need, and we have seen that through the eyes of other people's stories. Maybe you find yourself in that place right now, searching, wondering, and chasing after something to fill the void that you have inside. I want you to know that you are not alone by any means, and that we all have this void, and the only way that it can be filled is by Jesus Christ. Jesus was born of a virgin, lived a perfect life, was brutally beaten, then died a sinner's death on a cross, and then he was buried in a tomb. He did all of this for you, and he did it for me, to save us from the grip of sin in our lives so that we may have forgiveness and be set free. But the good news is, it doesn't end there. 3 days later, he rose from the grave, proving that death and hell is defeated in the powerful name of Jesus. And this Jesus wants a relationship with you. He loves you, and he wants to set you free from the stronghold of sin, brokenness, and burdens, and show you that there is so much more to life. John 3:16 tells us, "For God so loved the world that he sent his one and only Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life." This verse wraps up the gospel completely. It tells us that God loves the world so much that he sent his one and only Son, and that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And he did all of that in just hopes that you would come to him. And how you do that is simply by calling upon his name, admitting that you are a sinner and need a saving, and believing in your heart that Jesus rose from the dead 3 days later. And the Bible tells us that in Romans 10:9. If you confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. And then it goes on to tell us in 2 Corinthians 6:2, "For he says, at the acceptable time, I listened to you, and on the day of salvation, I helped you. Behold, now is the acceptable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation." This scripture makes it clear that today is the day of salvation. There is no need to wait whenever the Holy Spirit is tugging at you to come to the Father. If you have made the decision to follow Christ for the first time, recommit yourself to Christ, or have any questions, please email us at ccomeasyouaree.pod@gmail.com with your decisions or questions. Thanks again for listening to Come As You Are. We will see you next Monday at 10 a.m. Central Time. Love you guys.